Hi, everybody. This is Gail Evans with the Center on Law and Poverty. And I just want to start by saying that with this decision, New Mexico's children win. And the court's decision is a testament to the great potential of New Mexico's children. The courts found what we all know to be true, that our children have just as much capacity to learn and thrive as children anywhere. We don't have to be bottom in the nation for academic outcomes. We don't have to be bottom in the nation for children's likelihood of success. And we don't have to be bottom in the nation for child poverty. And the way up is through education. And that's what this court has recognized, that education is the foundation of our democracy. And that once the state finally meets its constitutional obligation and provides every child with a sufficient education, and that's one that means that all children have the opportunity to be college and career ready, then we will all benefit, not just our children, but our economy and therefore our whole state. So that's what this case is about. And that's exactly what the court found. So the Yazzie case has always rested on two principles, and they're both major strengths of our state. The first is the strength of our children, that New Mexico's children have just as much potential and capacity as children anywhere, and there's no good reason for the appalling academic outcomes that we've had in our state historically. And the second principle that the Yazzie case has rested on is another major strength in our state, and that is that we know what we need to do to provide our children with a quality education. We've done the research in our state, and we know what works. But the problem is, and what the case is centered on, is that our state has made choices, funding choices, that have deprived at-risk students from their constitutional rights to an education to make them college or career ready. And now that's going to end. The court has directed the state that it has to put its constitutional obligation for education ahead of other funding concerns that the state may have. In terms of state revenue, education has to come first, and it can no longer be shortchanged. So the court found that the state, meaning the public education department and the legislature, know that extended learning opportunities increase academic outcomes for at-risk students, but the state has only made those available to some students. That's going to have to end. The court found that the state knows that full-day education for four-year-olds improves academic outcomes for at-risk students. But the state has only made that type of education available to a small portion of our four-year-olds. That's going to have to end. The state knows that culturally and linguistically relevant instruction improves academic outcomes. That's why the state has passed laws mandating it. But the state hasn't enforced those standards, and now the state is going to have to. The state knows that classroom size and length of school year impacts academic outcomes. That's why it's put those standards into law, but they waive those, saying they can't afford it. Well, now the state's going to have to provide the funding. The state knows that low teacher pay makes it hard to recruit and retain teachers for at-risk students, but it hasn't provided funding to pay our teachers more, and now it's going to have to. So the court has said no more excuses. There's a constitutional obligation, and it must be fulfilled. So as we look at what's going forward, now that the court has found that the state is violating the rights of hundreds of thousands of at-risk children across the state, the court is firmly holding the state's feet to the fire to redress the violation. The court has said to the legislature and the PED in its decision, I know it's a tough job, but it's your job and you've got to do it. You have until April to take immediate steps to ensure that New Mexico schools have the resources necessary to give at-risk students the opportunity to obtain a uniform and sufficient education that prepares them for college and career. Those are the court's words. So rather than appealing, we implore the state to get to work on fixing our schools. Rather than spending millions more dollars on expensive out-of-state lawyers to fight against New Mexico's children, let's roll up our sleeves and prioritize what needs to happen. Let's get the resources and services to the schools for at-risk kids just as the court has ordered. We stand ready to work with the state to implement the solutions that we all know work and that will benefit all of us. And so I'll pass it to you, Ernest.
Thank you, Gail, and thanks for all of your work on this case. My name is Ernest Herrera. I'm an attorney, a staff attorney at the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund Southwest Regional Office. I want to say thanks for everyone for being on this call. I want to give some background on how MALDEF got involved in this case and why we're involved in this case. Today has been a long day in the making. In 2011, community groups, including the Latino Education Task Force and Diane Torres Velasquez, who's here today, and you can ask her some questions at the end of the comments, asked MALDEF to talk to parents, students, and teachers about the problems facing children throughout New Mexico in our schools. At an event sponsored by the Latino Education Task Force in August 2012, and at the behest of community members from across New Mexico, MALDEF announced that it would work on investigating the underlying causes of inequities and access to educational opportunities for economically disadvantaged students, English language learners, and other disadvantaged students in New Mexico. For the next year, MALDEF met with people from Chaparral to Española. In April of 2014, several dozen parents and their children, that's 40 parents and children combined, children who attended schools in Albuquerque, Española, Gadsden, Zuni, Magdalena, Santa Fe, and Las Cruces, stepped forward to challenge the state of New Mexico in court over the public school system. The court noted that these students do not just face an achievement gap, but suffer from a gap of attention, gap in attention from the state, including a lack of monitoring, insufficient numbers of textbooks, lack of access to technology for students in some rural districts, and especially in districts serving predominantly Native American students. And another thing that is very important to this decision is what the court found with regard to the state's failure to really ensure that bilingual education is provided to students, especially those who are Spanish-speaking, as it's guaranteed in the New Mexico Constitution. Another aspect that the court emphasized was how the state failed to provide a sufficient education to Native American students, which is recognized in the Constitution, but also in laws passed by the legislature, laws such as the Indian Education Act. We showed a trial how the state doesn't really know what's going on at the district level and in schools with regard to culturally relevant programming for Native Americans and Latinos, as well as other groups, and doesn't really know whether appropriate programming is being provided to English language learners so that they are able to succeed and have the opportunity to be ready for college and career. The state blamed their failures on concerns such as the budget. However, MALDEF has continuously emphasized that this case is not just about money. The court rightly chose to focus on the obligations that the state of New Mexico has to educate its students. To this point, and this is from the opinion, the court emphasized that the New Mexico Constitution contains positive state duties and not simply negative rights. That's part of why this decision is so monumental, is that it recognizes that students have rights that go beyond just minimal compliance, that things such as multicultural education, bilingual education, training of teachers in bilingual education, these things are not simply window dressing, these things are requirements. Friday's decision confirms that the plaintiff successfully demonstrated that there are severe systemic problems paying, training, and retaining quality teachers. Gail gave you some of the contours of the big problems that face that cause that lack of retention. I would add to that that the court recognized how a punitive and distrusted teacher evaluation system makes those problems even worse, not only by punishing teachers who are already in schools that serve predominantly low-income and English language learners, but also by discouraging them from going to those schools. The court also rejected the state's argument that New Mexico's historically disadvantaged groups are just too hard to teach. The court said it is not a sufficient answer to this systemic problem of poor outcomes by at-risk students to urge, as defendants do, that the problems are caused by socioeconomic factors not attributable to the school system. So that's important language to look at in the opinion with regard to why this is such a big decision. Some other more specific issues that the court acknowledged findings about, some of the evidence presented at trial had to do with how funds are allotted to schools that serve at-risk students. And the judge acknowledged evidence presented by the plaintiffs about how that the at-risk factor in the funding formula is not up to par, is not where it should be. She also acknowledged how below-the-line funding, which is funding that is outside of funding formula, is not doing its job and is inconsistent and unreliable. It doesn't allow school districts to consistently provide the programs that some of the programs that Gail mentioned, such as pre-K, after school, and other programs. So those are just some of the highlights, but I want to end with stating that MALDEF remains committed to working with groups such as the Latino Education Task Force, Somos Un Pueblo Unido, and other community groups to make sure that the state does its job from now on. And we are grateful that the court is maintaining jurisdiction over this case until that gets done. And I'll pass it to our next speaker.
Thank you, Ernest. This is Jessica Burrill, an attorney with Munger, Tolles, and Olson. Munger, Tolles, and Olson has been a proud partner in this litigation since 2014, working side-by-side with MALDEF. Munger, Tolles, and Olson has worked for years to champion the rights of New Mexico's most vulnerable children. Judge Singleton's decision begins with a recognition of the importance of education to our democracy. This decision is a win for New Mexico, a win for children, and a win for our democracy. This case is emblematic of Munger, Tolles, and Olson's deep commitment to pro bono work. Many attorneys and staff members have worked tirelessly to ensure all children in New Mexico receive their constitutional right, the right to an education that provides the opportunity for college and career readiness. One aspect of the case that I focused on, and I'm happy to answer questions about, is the rights of students with disabilities. The decision issued Friday recognizes that students with disabilities have the right to a sufficient education under the state constitution's education clause and due process clause. The court addressed problems with the provision of special education services and the funding of special education in New Mexico, and the court held that defendants have a constitutional obligation to address these systemic failures. I'm going to turn it over to Preston Sanchez to speak further. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. This is Preston Sanchez, an attorney with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. So this is a watershed moment for the education of American Indians. In the opinion, the court says, in order to ensure American Indian students a constitutionally sufficient education, the state must now comply with the New Mexico Indian Education Act. In 2003, this legislation was enacted in 2003 in order to address the unique cultural and linguistic needs of American Indians, and also to respond to the long historical discrimination that American Indians have dealt with in public education systems. So over the last 15 years, however, the state of New Mexico has failed to fully implement the NMIEA and ensure that the districts are complying with its provisions. For example, the Indian Education Division office has suffered from turnovers and vacancies. Schools have lacked support and guidance from the state and the IED on how to fully implement provisions of the Indian Education Act. And the NMIEA fund has declined over the last 6 years. Now the state has to comply with the NMIEA. That includes providing students culturally relevant learning opportunities, culturally relevant instructional materials, and a curriculum. And then the state is also required to ensure that the state, the PED, the districts, and the tribal communities are collaborating to ensure academic success for American Indians. So now is the time that all American Indian students will have the opportunity to be college, career, and have success in their life. I'll now pass it over to the next speaker.
Should I go ahead?
Thank you, Preston. We're now going to hear from Veronica Garcia, the superintendent, Santa Fe Public Schools.
Good morning. I'm going to keep my comments brief. And while we all have been celebrating this morning this great decision, I on the other hand, while I feel in a celebratory mood, it's really about doing the right thing as a state and to fulfill the moral imperative and obligation that we've had to our children, and that is to provide them an equal opportunity for success. And we have failed, and it is evident by the performance and the achievement gaps that we see in our children. This decision is also a vindication on so many levels. First of all, in terms of providing for the opportunities for our Native American students, our English language learners, our children with disability, our at-risk youth, 70% of our children are children who come to us in poverty. We have one of the highest child hunger rates in the nation. Our opportunities for success have been very, very low in our state, and child well-being is now at rock bottom. So I feel that it is a vindication because we've been accused by many, those of us who have been child advocates, public education advocates, for just wanting to have more money thrown at a problem. It is clear that this is not about throwing money at a problem. It's about providing the opportunity and investing in our youth. The programs that we will see will benefit our students, but I want to make it real clear, and it was stated, but I want to tell you from those of us on the ground, this is not fluff. These are not bells and whistles. This is about meeting the Constitution and providing a sufficient education, a basic education. What am I talking about? If you look at the testimony throughout Judge Singleton's order, you will see that many of us have classrooms, be they rural, large, or mid-sized school districts that go vacant because we cannot find the teachers that we need to adequately fill these classrooms. We need to improve teacher pay. That's number one. Secondly, basic things like textbooks. Many of us have had to use operational funding because we did not have the funding that we needed for textbooks. We're a very rural state. Many of our districts do not have the tax base to be able to provide access to technology that our children need to be learning in the 21st century. Programs as basic as counselors and school nurses. Many of us sometimes have a half-time nurse or a half-time counselor. Children don't have crises or get sick on odd or even number days, or unfortunately in the morning or the afternoon. These are basic services that children around the country have access to, and yet we wonder why our children lag behind. Pre-K, we know that many of our children come to us 3 years behind, 4 years behind, and they stay behind. If they're not adequately reading by third grade, their chances for graduation go down. So programs like pre-K, K-3 plus that extends the school year will give our children an equitable opportunity to be successful. And lastly, I want to close by saying that this decision can easily become politicized, and I want to stress that our students are not Republicans, they're not Democrats. They're just all children that come to school full of hope. They're not aware that they're at-risk kids or that they've been labeled in one manner or another. They come to us with believing that we're going to be able to provide them a great education so that they can grow up and do whatever they choose to do, be it go on to college or go on to a career. And every single one of these children deserve that opportunity. And so I beg the decision makers in our state to please not politicize this. Please do the right thing by our children. Let's not waste precious fiscal and human resources on appeals. Those dollars would best be used in serving our children. We cannot afford to lose a day. We have lost generations of children. Let's not lose one more day. The future of our children is resting on what we do next. We're all willing to roll up our sleeves and to get the work done today. Our children deserve no less. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica.